number 31, and we're going to just entitle this morning a real unique title, the Proverbs 31 Mother. That's not really real unique. Well, it's good to see John walk in there. He's been kind of crippled up lately, so it's good to see him back. Amen. And Miss Sherry, she's had to work every Sunday for a long time, so it's good. Miss Sherry, we have a bag up here for all the ladies, so after the service you can get one, okay? The Proverbs 31 Mother, if you'll open your Bibles there, we're going to go through this here. And again, this talks about being the right kind of mother and the right kind of wife. Now, it's interesting here. The Bible says in verse 1, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. Anybody ever heard of that guy before? You know, there's no record of anybody named that. Many Bible commentators believe that this is Solomon. Now, we don't know that for sure, but one of the reasons that they say that is because the word Lemuel means devoted. It means well-beloved. And there is a passage of Scripture over in Samuel where Bathsheba, Solomon's mother, calls Solomon her well-beloved or her beloved. And so we don't know that for a fact, but there are many that do believe that this is Samuel. But whether it's Samuel or not doesn't make any difference. This was a king, and it was the words here of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. And so if it was Solomon, then his mother was Bathsheba. And I imagine she could teach her boy a lot because of what some mistakes that she'd been through and a lot of things that she had been through. But whether it was or not, we don't know. But I know this, whoever this guy is, King Lemuel, he had a mother that definitely had it right. That's for sure. And so we're going to talk about the Proverbs 31 mother. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you again for all the mothers that are here today. We thank you for our mothers, maybe that are not here. Maybe they don't live here. Maybe they're already with the Lord, already passed away. But Lord, we thank you for godly mothers. We think back to all the people that you have used in a great way, not only in the ministry, but just in the founding of our country, who have attributed their success to their mothers. And we know, Lord, that mothers have a tremendous influence on their children. And we pray for all the mothers and the grandmothers here this morning that you'd just bless them and help them as they're still raising kids and having an influence on grandkids. I pray that you'd just bless them and give them wisdom. And again, thank you for this wonderful day, Mother's Day, and we pray, God, that even the men here this morning would be encouraged to just be the right kind of men from being here this morning and listening to the Scripture. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm preaching on being the right kind of mother, but we understand this, men. For our wives to be the right kind of mother, we're going to have to be the right kind of man. We're going to have to be the right kind of dad, right? And so that we can help them be the right kind of mother. And, you know, marriage is not, maybe you've heard this before, marriage is a 50-50 deal. No, it's 100-100. Both husband and wife have to work together. And by the way, by the Bible definition of marriage is still one man with one woman. It doesn't matter what the society says, it is still one man and one woman being married. Okay, that's what we're talking about here, okay? I'm sure that only in eternity will we see all the blessings and realize all of the things that mothers have done. I wonder how many mothers have shed innumerable tears over their children, over their grandchildren, maybe a lost husband, some kind of a situation, but they've just stayed good mothers. I've got a friend who pastors in Arkansas, and he and I went to Bible college together. And he's been in the ministry as long as I have, but he was a dopehead before he got saved. He used to sniff all kinds of stuff, and he would come home completely out of his mind. And he said, every time I'd come home like that, my mother would be on her knees, shedding tears and praying for me at the foot of my bed. And I'd come in stoned out of my mind and fall in bed. He said, and he's been in the ministry a long time. He's a tremendous preacher, been mightily used of the Lord for many years, and he attributes his getting saved to his godly mother praying for him. No matter what he'd do, she'd be there praying. And I'm sure we have lots and lots of mothers even like that here this morning. Maybe your son wasn't in that condition, but something, son, grandkids, something, you've prayed, you've shed tears, and you've begged God to get a hold of your family. You know, Proverbs has much to say about the wicked woman. It has much to say about nagging wives. But it ends up with a wonderful chapter talking about a dedicated, godly woman, mother, wife, who brings honor to God and great joy to her family. Now listen, we've got people in here, you young people over here, listen to me now, you guys right here, and you, and Jenny, I'm talking about Tacoma, and Jenny, all the young people that are not married yet, the most important decision you'll ever make, besides receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior, is your choice of a mate. Who you choose to marry will be the most important decision in your life besides the decision to trust Christ as your Savior. So make sure you get it right. God's plan has never been for people to be divorced. God's plan has always been one man, one wife, for one life. Now, we know that that doesn't work out. I mean, it hasn't worked out in a lot of people's lives, and God can forgive that sin like any other sin. But you young people, you don't want to go into this thing of marriage thinking this, well, we'll try it out, and if it doesn't work for, you know, I remember in Oklahoma, they used to advertise you can get a divorce for $59. Now, from what I understand today, it's a whole lot more costly. I know one man that paid $10,000 for his divorce. And he said, he told me, he's a police officer, and he told me it costs a lot of money to get divorced nowadays. Well, that's not the only thing, consideration. But I'm just saying, it doesn't matter if it's easy to get divorced or not. You need to go into marriage knowing that this is the man or the woman that God wants me to be with, and for better or worse, we're just going to stick it out. I can tell you this, after the kids are all gone, and I've heard many people that are married for a long time being divorced after all the kids are gone. Have y'all ever heard that? And they said, well, you know, I mean, we haven't even had any kind of relationship at all. We've just stayed together until the kids left. Well, you know, that's, I'm sure that that's wonderful, staying together till the kids leave. But after the kids leave, we all need to understand this. Satan is going to attack us after they leave, just like he did while they were at home. And so we need to just decide that, hey, we're going to stay married. I heard my father-in-law say this, Brother Jerry McDonald. He said he's with the Lord, but he said this. Someone asked him if he's ever considered divorce. He said, I've never considered divorce, ever. So they were married 54 years. He said, divorce, never. Murder, many times. But divorce, never. I imagine they could ask my wife's mom that, and she would probably say the same thing. Right, ladies? Yeah. Well, the Bible says this. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. If you're going to be the right kind of lady, you'll be a crown to your husband. The Bible says, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing. It is a good thing for a man to find a good wife. And then the Bible says a prudent wife is from the Lord. And I thank God for my wife. We've been married 37 years. She's my first and only wife. And I'm planning on staying married to her. And but she's a good mother. She's been a good wife. And if you got a good wife, then I would imagine that you are thanking God for that. Because I've seen some wives that some men are married to. Matter of fact, somebody told me not long ago, this is what this person said. My wife is as dumb as a box of rocks. That's what he said. I looked at him and said this. Well, you married her. Right? Well, you knew that before you got married. Or at least you should have. But it don't matter if she's dumb as a box of rocks or not. If she's your wife, then she's supposed to stay your wife. And hey, we're supposed to stay married to the people we're married to. And by the way, I wouldn't ever say that to anybody. Now, my wife's not dumb as a box of rocks. My wife's a very intelligent lady. But if she was, I wouldn't say that to anybody. Have you ever been somewhere and people talk about their spouse? I've been around men, you know, I mean, at work, or, you know, I've worked my way through college and I've done other jobs, you know, all through the ministry just to help supplement the income. And I've been around men and they talk about their wives and how stupid they are and this or that. And I'm thinking, man, you guys are idiots. You got a bunch of idiots. We ought not be talking bad about our spouse. That's just, I don't think that honors the Lord. Men, don't talk about bad about your wife. Ladies, don't talk bad about your husband. That's just not a good thing. And if you're going to be a virtuous woman, if you want to be a virtuous woman, then we have a whole chapter to tell you how to do that. Now, let's look here at this virtuous woman's spirituality. Okay, that's the first 9 verses here. The king's mother, again, we don't know her name, and whether it's Solomon or somebody else named Lemuel, that really doesn't even matter. This man named Lemuel was the king, and he said, "These are things my mother taught me." And so this man could definitely say that his success would be a result of his good, godly mother's teaching. The most important ministry that moms and dads have is the spiritual training of the children. That's the most important ministry you have. Now, I know this. Not all the time do our children turn out the way that they should. I've been in the ministry 36 years now. We've worked with lots and lots and lots of young people. And unfortunately, I have seen young people that have attended Christian schools all of their life that as soon as they graduate, they don't step back in church again. Sometime ever, sometime for many, many years, because they're so bitter. I've heard young people say this: "My mom and dad raised me according to the Bible, and they kept us sheltered from everything. So now we're going to go find out about all the things they wouldn't let us do." That's totally stupid. Thank God for moms and dads that shelter their children from all the things that the world has to offer. Now, you know what I found? Even when we raise kids like we should, and even we've had 2 boys. Okay, my boys weren't perfect. Their mom and dad weren't perfect. But we did the very best we could to raise them according to the scriptures. And here's what I found out. Even though we had family devotions at home, we didn't go to bad places. We didn't, you know, drink. We didn't cuss. We didn't, you know, do all those kind of things. The kids still find out about all that the world has to offer. Our boys were in a Christian school one time, and our oldest son came home, and he showed me what the middle finger means and told me that they talked about it in class. Not the teacher, but the kids in the Christian school were talking about it. This is like, I don't know, 7th or 8th grade or something. I'm thinking, good night, where was the teacher at when this was supposed to be going on? But even when we raise our kids right, the world's influence is still going to be there. I mean, you can't tape their eyeballs shut as you drive down the highway. There's dirty billboards all over the place. There's idiots all over this town that have dirty bumper stickers stuck on their car. I'm thinking, what an absolute moron to put that on the back of your car where kids have to look at that. Man, we got to raise them according to Scripture. But I'm just simply saying we can't keep them from everything. We're going to have to really, really pray and ask God to help these children turn out right. Let's look at number 1, her counsel. Her counsel, it says there, verse 1, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. Now, obviously, this dear lady had a burden to teach her son how to be the best person that he could be. I don't know. I have read in my studying that some that believe this was Samuel. I'm sorry. Not Samuel. Solomon. Some believe that maybe if this was Solomon, that maybe Bathsheba wrote this and maybe even wrote it towards the end of his life. To try to, and again, this is just speculation, okay? People thinking. If it was Solomon, if Bathsheba wrote it, I've read that some have said that it's a possibility that she wrote it later in Solomon's life to try to bring him back to the place where he should have been spiritually. I don't know. I don't have any idea. But I do know this. We see that this lady had a burden on her heart. And that was to teach this boy the things that he needed to know. Ladies, look, the most important job you got is teaching your kids how to live right. And we don't have a society and a culture that agrees with that today, do we? We surely don't. Lemuel's mother adoringly and anxiously instilled the great lessons of life in his tender heart. And I personally don't think it was Bathsheba writing to Solomon when he was older. I don't know if it was Solomon in the first place, but I really don't lean towards, even if it was, that she wrote this to him later on. If it was, and I think she wrote it to him early on so that he would know these things and avoid some of the pitfalls that she had fallen in. We need to understand that mothers have an unparalleled opportunity to mold the character of their children. And godly mothers will take full advantage of that opportunity. They plant God's word in the fertile soil of the children's hearts. Now you might be here and you might not be a mother yet. And so just learn these things. And then when God does give you children, then determine, hey, I'm going to do all I can to get the truth of God's word in their heart. Most children that have godly mothers will grow up and be grateful for them and will praise them all the days of their life. Now, there's some that won't. They ought to be ashamed of themselves. But most of the children with godly mothers will do that. Maybe they won't do that all the time, but most of them, there will be some time in their life when they finally grow up and realize what a good mother they have, and then they will be grateful for her. And again, not all of them do, but it seems like most of them do. Lemuel was a powerful man. He was a king. He could have done whatever he wanted to do. Kings can do whatever they want to do. But this mother taught this man how to be the right kind of king. Now, again, I don't know. I lean towards whoever it was, whoever his mother was, taught this to him at an early age. And so when he became king, he had all these principles already instilled in his heart so that he could be the right kind of a king, so he could be a successful king. I think about Eunice in the Bible. Eunice was Timothy's mother. And Paul said this about Eunice in 2 Timothy chapter 3. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. So Timothy's mother had a good mother. Her name was Lois, then Eunice, and Eunice, and I think Lois probably also, had a wonderful influence on Timothy's life. And Timothy became a great young preacher. And he became one of Paul's preacher boys and was greatly used of God. Then Paul says, actually I said that was chapter 3, that was chapter 1. Then he says in chapter 3, talking to Timothy, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. Now, when Timothy was a child, his mama, Eunice, taught him the Bible. You won't go wrong teaching your kids the Bible. You will not go wrong teaching your kids, this is what God's Word says. Take a stand on that. Don't beat around the bush about it. Just tell them, this is what the Bible says. This is wrong. This is right. Doesn't the Bible say all scriptures given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine? That's what's right. For reproof, that's what's wrong. For correction, that's how to get it right. And for instruction in righteousness, that's how to keep it right. So the Bible teaches us what's right, what's wrong, how to get things right, how to keep things right. So the Bible is what you've got to get in your children's heart. Get a good Bible story book, and there are good ones. And mamas, read that to your children. Grandmas, read that to your children, when your grandchildren, when you get a chance. And even when they're older, they're probably not going to sit around when they're grown and listen to a Bible story, but you can still relate to them what the Bible has to say and be that godly grandmother and, of course, be a godly mother. How about Moses' mother? You think about Moses. Moses grew up in Pharaoh's house. Pharaoh was the king of Egypt. So he had everything the world has to offer. Everything. He would have been in line to be the next Pharaoh. But he turned his back on all of that because his mother had taught him what the Bible has to say. She had taught him who he was. He was a Hebrew. He was a child of Jehovah God, the God of Israel. And Moses, when he became of age, turned his back on all that the world had to offer and went and led the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. But do you think that would have happened had it not been for Moses' mama? Moses' mother's name was Jochebed. She obviously was a wonderful lady. Moses was born in a time when Pharaoh said all the boy babies have to die. But Jochebed didn't care what the king said. She wasn't going to have her baby die. She was going to raise her kid for the Lord. Then when he was 3 months old, Jochebed made that little ark. I mean, that little basket there of bulrushes. She put pitch in there, which is like tar. Which if you'll go back and study, I can't remember who it was, but some scientist years ago read that Bible story and said, pitch, tar, got to be oil over there. And they discovered oil over there because of him reading the Bible and knowing that. She put that little three-month-old baby in the Nile River. And where she put that baby in the Nile River is full of crocodiles. I don't know if you've ever seen crocodiles, but most of those Nile crocodiles are 2,000 pounds or bigger. I have seen pictures of them. They stand up on their legs 3 feet high. And they can run faster than a man can at 2,000 pounds. But she trusted God. She knew God was going to take care of that baby. What a wonderful story. Pharaoh's daughter came down, saw the little baby there. The only person on planet Earth that couldn't save Moses, Pharaoh's daughter. And she looked in that little basket, that little baby cried or laughed or something. I don't know what he did, but God, I don't know, God reached down and tickled him or something. I don't know. But whatever that little baby did, it sure got Pharaoh's daughter's heart. And Miriam was standing there watching all of this, Moses' sister. She ran and said, would you like me to get one of the Hebrew babies to take care? Hebrew ladies to take care of that baby? She said yes. Guess who Miriam went and got? Mama. Jochebed. And Moses got to be raised. The decree was all boy babies have to die. But Moses got to be raised by his mother, and Pharaoh paid for it. Isn't that an amazing story? What a wonderful lady that Eunice was, and that Lois was, and that Jochebed. Now, Jochebed before the Old Testament. What about Hannah? One of the greatest ladies in the Bible, Hannah. She prayed and she begged God to give her a son. And she said, God, if you'll give me a son, then I will lend him to you all of his life. And as soon as that baby was weaned, old enough to go to the temple, she took that baby to the temple as a young boy and left him there. And Samuel served the Lord from the time he was a young boy until the time he died. One of the greatest men of all the Bible is Samuel. But he wouldn't have been great had it not been for his mama, Hannah, teaching him all that he needed to know. So the first thing that we see there about Lemuel's mother is her counsel. She taught him all of these things. She counseled him about all of these things. Then we see her love. She made a vow to commit her son to the Lord. We don't know exactly what those vows were, but she did make a vow. Look at verse 2. Notice this. What? My son? And what? The son of my womb? And what? The son of my vows? So before instructing this boy, she expressed how important he was to her and how she longed for him to make sound, godly choices. One of the major teachings of Proverbs is that parents must instruct their children in righteousness. We don't see much of that today, but it's still the truth. It's still what children need. And that also that they must correct the children when they stray away from the commandments of God. There is a total difference in discipline and abuse. Biblical discipline is biblical, and abuse is not. Okay, there is absolutely no reason to ever abuse a child, ever, period, ever, ever, ever. But if you've got children, then you have a responsibility, according to the Bible, to discipline them. Discipline them doesn't always mean a spanking. And by the way, it's not illegal to give kids a spanking as long as you do it right. But you got to do it right. You can't just beat the fire out of them. When many of you were growing up and I was growing up, man alive, we got whaled, didn't we? That was just part of it. Going to the woodshed, that was not a good thing. And his mom or dad would hold you like this and whip you like this. It would be like this, right? Running around, chasing them stuff, right? Now, my dad never abused me, or my mom, but they sure whooped me back here on the backside. That's for sure. And there is a way to do that biblically and to do it right. And the Bible says that that's still necessary. Now, I know that that's not popular, but I read a survey one time that they did on men in prison. And the majority of the men in prison said this: I wished I would have had a mom or dad that would have disciplined me when I was a young person, because I probably wouldn't be here now if they had. Well, I have been with the police. And we've been called to a school here, an elementary school. And we went to a class and talked to a 10-year-old kid, third grade kid, who had picked up a desk and threw it at another kid. And the police officer said this: if I get called over here again, I'm going to handcuff you, 10 years old, I'm going to handcuff you, put you in that police car, and I'm taking you to the police station. Your parents can come pick you up. And that 10-year-old boy looked at the police officer and just growled at him. Just like that, gritted his teeth and growled at him because he hated that police officer. Where'd he learn that from? Mom and dad, because his mom and dad hate the police officers too. And isn't that something? I'm thinking, 10 years old, this kid don't have a chance if something don't happen to him. But when children are young and growing, parents play the most important role in training their children. And as they grow into adulthood, then children are going to make their own decisions and choose their own paths. But loving parents can continue to appeal to their children on the basis of love and genuine concern. Now, we all know this, because most of us, our children are already out of the house. But we know this: we have to tread carefully and wisely when confronting grown children about their unwise, ungodly decisions. We got to ask God for wisdom about how to do that, because we don't want them to just say, forget it, I ain't ever talking to you again. We want to have an influence on them. And this is the same thing that Miss Linda said a while ago. Godly parents, even if our children are not doing what they're supposed to do, godly parents must never step out of their life. We always have to prayerfully and gently try to nudge them back to the path of wisdom and godly decisions. Now, of course, if they're not saved, then we want to pray for them. And we've got people sitting in this room right now that their children, your children, and spouses, grandchildren, are on our list for getting saved. Several of you have children on there and grandkids on there. So we don't ever want to step out of their lives. We just got to keep on praying for them. And then we see in verse 3 through 9, her admonitions. Her admonitions are to, let's just look at this, verse 3. Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Now verse 6 and 7. There are people that use verse 6 and 7 to say, oh, looky there, God gives us permission to go out and drink. No. Think of this as one of the things when you look at the scripture and see what it means, you've got to take it in context. Here's what his mother is saying. she would be like saying, it would be like facetiously. That would be a word that we could use. I'm trying to find, I've got another word down here. It would be like with a hint of sarcasm. She's telling her son, now son, don't do these things. And she is saying basically, don't act like those derelicts who drink and forget their hardships and forget the right judgment. Act like the king you're supposed to be. That's what she's saying in verse 6 and 7 here. Then verse 8, open thy mouth for the dumb in the cause of all such as are pointing to destruction. The dumb there is not those that can't speak. Dumb there is those that, because of being oppressed or something, do not have a voice in society. So she's telling the king, hey, look, stand up for those that are being mistreated and abused. Because if you don't use your influence to help them, then there is no help available to them. So these are her counsels here, her admonition. She says, number one, beware of lust and guard against the immoral, because they'll ruin you. And then she says, beware of intoxicating substances. She talks about that because kings are supposed to have a dignity about them and they're supposed to be an example. And it's not appropriate for them to drink because drinking impairs their judgment. And the kings have a responsibility to rule and administer justice. That's what she's telling him here. And then she says, speak up and defend the rights of the defenseless. So we see all of those things. Excuse me. All of those things there that she taught them. So we can see her spirituality in verses 1 through 9. I would say that this king's mother was a very godly lady. And she's admonishing him about all these things. Her loyalty, 10 through 12. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. You see, this lady is not only spiritual, but she's loyal. And her loyalty lies with her husband. Her husband can trust her. I'm glad that I have a wife that if I go out of town and I call and she don't answer the phone, I don't have to wonder who she's running around with. I know men that if their wives don't answer the phone or they can't find them, they are crazy with jealousy because they figure she's probably running around with somebody. I don't ever have to wonder about that with my wife. I'm glad because she is loyal to me. I'm glad about that. The two key thoughts are about the heart and trust, love and faith. Marriage is a matter of the heart. There must be a true love between husband and wife. Now, men, what kind of love or how should we love our wives? As Christ loved the church and Christ sacrificed for the church. We ought to have a sacrificial, patient, suffering, tender, and a constant love. By the way, ladies, it is your responsibility to submit yourselves to your own husband. That's what the Bible says. Now, that's not popular preaching, but that's what the Bible says. A lady whose husband is the kind of man he ought to be will have no problem submitting herself to him. So men, we've got to be the kind of man that we're supposed to be. That doesn't mean that we're supposed to be dictators. That means we're supposed to love our wives. And that means that we are supposed to submit ourselves to the Lord like we're supposed to. You know, a happy home doesn't just happen. Have you ever heard this? If mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. That's the truth, isn't it? Yeah. Yep, that's the truth. When husbands and wives trust the Lord and each other, there'll be happiness and blessing. The marriage vows are promises that must be taken seriously. Isn't it interesting that the marriage vows have changed over the years? They're not the same as they used to be. Because many wives don't want to commit to those things that the marriage vows of the old time used to say. To break these vows is a sin against God. We watched a program this week, my wife and I, on I think it was National Geographic or something, but it was about Africa's deadliest, that's what it's called. It's about animals and how they survive and all the stuff over there. And it showed a lioness and how she was providing for her pride. You know, that's the group of lions there. And it showed her stalking a group of wildebeests. Now, she blends in with the grass, And she gets down and she moves very slow. And then when she gets within striking distance, she takes off. But it's interesting because the photography was just amazing. When the wildebeest all stay together, then the lion couldn't get them. And she had to try again. But she keeps on trying until she finds one weak one or one that's out there wandering around, not paying attention, not with the crowd. And then that one's history. That's just like Satan. Listen, Mama, Satan is out there. He's camouflaged. He's very slow, very meticulous, but he's looking for anywhere that he can pounce and get you and influence you to where you'll not have the godly influence on your family that you want to have. Don't listen to Satan. He's a liar. Be loyal to your husband. If you're going to be a virtuous woman, you're going to be the godly mother and wife that you ought to be, you'll be loyal to your husband and you'll be loyal to your family. Number three, her industry. We don't have time to read all these verses, but her industry, 13 through 22. She is a mother that works hard and does whatever she has to do to take care of husband and take care of the children. I heard this week that Elizabeth's husband, Joe, and boys were all sick. And we prayed for you guys yesterday. And somebody at the men's prayer meeting yesterday mentioned about how, wow, she must be really busy. Not only taking care of the two kids, but taking care of the big kid too, Joe, right? Daddy taking care of husband and the children, right? And you ladies have to do that, right? Our oldest son, when he would be sick, and if he had to throw up, he would always want his mama there holding his hand. And you know, she's in there, you know, doing all that kind of stuff. This is when he was little. And she would say, I'm praying for you, son. He said, you're not praying hard enough. Pray some more. Then he'd throw up again. You're not praying hard enough. So, mamas, I know it's a tough job. But, hey, the right kind of mama is just going to work. And whether it's sewing, whether it's cooking. And, by the way, as you go through here, moms, don't think that you have to do exactly every single thing this lady did. That's not the lesson. I mean, you don't have to sew your own clothes nowadays, right? But I can tell you this. You're going to make sure that your clothes for your husband, yourself, and your family are they're nice clothes, they're decent, they're good enough to take care of you, and they're going to make you presentable when you're out in society. And so it might, you know, we might do things different today, and ladies, you might do things different today because we've got a lot of advances, and you don't have to do all the, you don't have to make your own butter, you don't have to, you know, sew your own clothes. But you're still going to be industrious. And I don't, man, you know, I think about ladies now. And you can go to the store and buy nutritious meals. You can make meals. You can go and you can buy clothes. And yet you're still as busy as can be, right? I heard somebody say they were as busy as a one-armed paper hanger. Some of you don't even know what paper is on the wall, do you? Wallpaper? A one-armed paper hanger would be mighty busy, right? Well, you ladies, I'm sure it would be like that. But in these verses, we see that she works willingly. It's not a matter of compulsion. It's a matter of compassion. She loves her husband, seeks to please him and the ideal woman. She's not going to spend all day laying in bed and watching soap operas. She's going to be up early in the morning. She's going to be late at night, if that's what it takes, and it seems like that's what it takes. And she's just going to be there all the time. And by the way, Proverbs has nothing good to say about a lazy man or a lazy woman. Well, a Proverbs 31 woman is not lazy. Then you see her modesty in verse 23 through 26. Now, this is definitely not popular preaching, but if you'll notice these verses, the Bible says this: her husband is known in the gates. A godly, virtuous woman is satisfied with taking care of her husband, taking care of her children, and just staying out of the limelight, just staying in the background. And letting her husband get the praise. And letting her husband get the honor. Now, that's not popular today, is it? Because ladies today, and I know, you know, in today's society, almost all ladies have to work. I mean, it's just the way it is. They have to do something nowadays just to be able to make it. But don't be the kind of mother that's more interested in a career than your family. You have to work. You have to work. The best thing to do, of course, is to be able to stay home and take care of your family, especially when they're little ones. And then after they get older, maybe you can, you know, you can work out, and that works because the kids are old enough to take care of themselves. And there's situations where that's okay. But when you got babies at home, man, my recommendation is don't stick them in some daycare just so you can go out and make some money for a new boat or whatever. Your children, your family is the most important thing. And so verse 25 suggests that the godly woman, she doesn't depend on fancy clothing to be successful. She wears strength and honor. And according to what Peter says, a meek and quiet spirit, that's 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 and 4, that's of more importance than any hairdo, makeup, dress, shoes, anything that any lady could wear. A meek and quiet spirit is what God is going to bless. Now, that doesn't mean you have to let, you know, the whole world just run over you without standing up. That's not what that means. That just means that you have a humble spirit and you're perfectly satisfied with the position God's given you of being a mama and being a wife and taking care of your husband and your children. Paul commands women to dress in modest apparel. Now, that doesn't mean the lady can't look nice. I think you ought to look nice. And ladies, I think this. I don't think you ought to be showing, and this is going, we had 630 messages downloaded last month off our website, and it went all over the world. So whether you're here or whether you're listening to this online, ladies, I think you ought not be showing off your bodies to anybody except your own husband. Cover up. Because men, if you don't cover up and you show your body, there's going to be men that's going to be looking at you. I'm glad my wife doesn't do that. I'm glad. Thank God for a lady like that. Ladies, you might not have known that. You don't maybe not even ever paid attention to that. But you ought to dress to please your husband. And this is all part of this. And then it says that in her her tongue is the law of kindness. Her speech, she's going to be careful in her speech as well as in her dress. And then lastly of all, her piety or her holiness. Verses 27 through 31 says, a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. This is the secret of her life, this successful woman. By the way, this lady is the one teaching all this stuff to her son. And the Bible says that she fears God and seeks to obey His word. No doubt she prays for her husband and her family. And how does God praise this lady? By blessing her labors and her life. The fruit of her life will praise her. Her children, her grandchildren will praise her. Maybe not even in this life, but maybe even after she's gone. It might not even be with the son or daughter or that grandchild. It might be with a great-grandchild. I don't know, but I know this. The Bible says that the fruit it just says right here. I'll just show it to you here. It says in verse number 25, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She's going to rejoice, of course, because she's going to heaven, but she's going to rejoice also in the fact that she's done the right thing, she's raised the kids the best she can, and that fruit of her life is going to raise up and praise her husband and her children. This is the day that we say thanks to all the moms. This is the day that we ought to say thanks to our mom. We ought to rise up and call her blessed. If your mom is alive, you ought to call her. You ought to see her. Some of your mothers live around here. You ought to see her. You ought to do something for her. I gave my wife, she's got a corsage on. I paid for her to do something that she wanted to do. And we've got reservations to go out for lunch. I gave her a nice card this morning because I want her to know that I thank God for her. And I know that she'll get a text from Jared today. And so, praise the Lord. Husbands, we need to set the right kind of example so that our wives can be the kind of wives that they are supposed to be. And we need to help them do that. And we ought to be grateful for a wonderful wife and wonderful godly mothers. And my wife's dad started a ministry. In September, it will celebrate the 40th anniversary. He started Calvary Baptist Church and Calvary Baptist Ministries. And it is a boys' home. And there's been thousands and thousands of boys go through that place. And he used to tell the boys this. If you did not have the right kind of home, if you didn't have the right kind of dad or the right kind of mother, then you be the first. You start it. You be the right kind of dad. And you start the right kind of home and raise your children right. And maybe your mother's not what she ought to be, but you can be the right kind of mother. And you can influence your children. You can be, maybe you didn't have the right kind of grandmother, but you can be the right kind of grandma and the right kind of grandmother. And you can continually pray and try with the wisdom of God to direct those children, grandchildren, to the Lord if they strayed away. Husbands and wives must constantly be on guard lest Satan move in and break up the home. So listen, ladies, be the right kind of mother. Be the right kind of wife. And here is the instruction on how to do it. We have a godly lady that it doesn't even give us her name. She was King Lemuel's mother, and she obviously got it right. And God pinned all this down for all the mothers and grandmothers to know, and wives to know exactly what they should do. And then he gave us instructions too, men, right, on how to help them be the kind of mother and the wife that they ought to be. So I hope that you will study this chapter. It is a wonderful, wonderful chapter. And ladies, by the grace of God, you can be the virtuous woman that God wants you to be. Men, we've got to be the kind of husbands that the Bible tells us. And we've got to support our wife so that she can be the right kind of lady. Let's all stand, if you would. I hope you've been reminded of some things. Maybe you've learned some things this morning. But study this wonderful chapter. I don't know who King Lemuel was for sure. I know he was a king, and I know he had a godly mother. And I'm glad that God, by his inspiration, gave us these words that this godly mother gave her son. And I'm sure that's what all of you mothers would want for all of your children, too. Heavenly Father, we thank you for putting Proverbs 31 in there. It sure is a blessing that you finished that wonderful book with that wonderful chapter. And I pray, Lord, that we as men will be the right kind of dads and the right kind of husbands so that we can help our wives be the right kind of lady. And I pray that every one of our wives, every one of their mothers up here, grandmothers, would all be exactly what you want them to be. And I pray that these young mothers that have children still in the home, young children, help them, Lord, to be the kind of wife and the kind of mother that they ought to be. And help the other mothers that's already raised kids to be a blessing to these young ladies in our church. We ask these things in Jesus' name. If God spoke to your heart about anything this morning, then we want to invite you to do business with the Lord today. Lord, thanks again for this special day. We're glad that our country sets aside a day to honor our mothers. Pray you'd bless all of them, bless the memories of those that have passed. And I pray, God, that you'd dismiss us with thy blessings, bring us back safely this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless y'all. And